May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. 1056.
Let us read together, firstly from Psalm 40, the 40th Psalm. We turn to a few verses in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And he shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We commence at the 13th verse. Read to the end of verse 34. Luke 24, and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. that we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But as they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking the bread. Leave the reading there. Amen. Lord, we do seek that mercy at the mercy seat. Pray, Lord, that thou hear the cry and the prayer, the petition in the hymn. Grant us, Lord, that mercy to come in the very person of the Saviour. And we would be looking into his precious blood by faith, could it please thee. Grant, O Lord, those sweet, refreshing views of Jesus and his word and the truth of the gospel. O Lord, we pray for that help of God to believe with that increase of faith and that application of thy spirit. Lord, we need the truth applied to our souls and to our spirits, and we want something real to bring us on our way. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember us at the evening hour. We have been reminded of it in the blessed word of thy grace. Lord, we do seek that thou wilt come and grant us the benefit, the risen Lord in sinners' hearts. May we feel it. And we do pray that thou wilt remember us, pleading, Lord, that mercy which is with thee for sinners. And we do seek, Lord, that thou wilt apply thy truth, and that we have that sweet blessing of pardon and forgiveness. Lord, we believe thou art able to do this. But, O Lord, increase our faith. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt help us to record in our petitions those notes of thanks and gratitude. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Desire, Lord, to record thy mercies in the brittle thread of our lives has certainly been lengthened and continued. Certainly, Lord, we have no real understanding of the brevity of our life. We live as if we shall come to another day. Oh Lord, we need to be prepared. And Lord, make us ready. We may not have long to live. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us, seeking, Lord, that thou wilt prepare us under the gospel. Lord, the truth of it to be near to our hearts with that restoring power, resurrection, power and that blessing. The Lord, that we may behold the Lamb of God here, that we might behold him forever. Lord, we might be prepared by thy Spirit. Lord, we need those soul-refreshing views. And also that thou wilt look upon us now, and then, Lord, it can never be said, I never knew you. Lord, remember those that are very concerned and anxious about the matter of their departure. Lord, those that are brought to really consider it now. And so prepare me, gracious God, with that double sense of that great need for the Lord to make us ready. Lord, and do prepare us well. And others, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with them in life's journey. Seek that thou wilt remember any that are sick and laid aside. Remember thy servant unable to be here. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember him and his dear one. And we pray that thou wilt remember each cause represented, and the cause at Black Boys and Horam too. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that have come up. If so be, there may be hope. There may be, Lord, something, and yet, Lord, leave them not to be disappointed. Oh, do come, Lord, and grant the opening of thy word. We need it opened in our souls, in our hearts open too, but Lord, let it drop into our hearts, those sweet words of life, and we think of thy word, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So feed our souls and remember us, Lord, in every burden and care. We desire to think, Lord, upon our needs in the churches. And increasingly, Lord, we see the Lord's hand removing so many and causes closing. Thy cause cannot diminish, but those closures of those meetings, Lord, and the desire of our heart is that thou wilt appear. May there be, Lord, those that shall fit and stand in the breach. Grant, Lord, days of reviving. Lord, to some of us indeed it is a great matter. Lord, do appear. Help us, Lord, to seek the return of the Holy Spirit. Pardon our sin. Lord, leave us not to be the stumbling block. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us, thinking, Lord, upon thy cause in the earth, where thy name is faithfully recorded. Lord, where there is that Spirit of thee, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt hear us, Lord, for our poor land at this time. No, we do not look for man to grant us answers. We look to the Lord to appear. Pray that thou wilt remember us. And we do feel, Lord, thy will has been made known. And there is that solemn desire to turn back that which has been concluded in the referendum path. That, Lord, we do desire to fall at thy feet. Seek that thou remember us, Lord, the God of all our benefits. God, our help in ages past. Still our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Lord, we do pray that thou remember us, Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. Are they not prepared, and do they not enter into heaven itself? Lord, we do seek that thou wilt come, Lord, and be with the poor and the needy. Lord, that thou wilt remember those that feel to be so diminished and so poor and needy. We pray that thou wilt remember any may feel too poor and too needy. Lord, we believe that to be a temptation of Satan. Lord, there may be a true feeling about it. Lord, do lift up the light of thy countenance and grant answers of peace. Because I live, ye shall live also. I desire, Lord, to record so many mercies. Lord, the continual goodness of thee, Lord. Thy many mercies, Lord, in life's journey, so many years past now. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us as we seek to worship thee. We may remember, Lord, thy goodness. We may feel the repentance in our sorrow, but we need thee, Lord, that compunction, that feeling, Lord, that we have sinned against thee, Lord, and have a sweet hope in his mercy. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember any that especially have a need for thee, Lord, this evening. And do come, Lord, remember our brethren. Pray for the church. Seek, Lord, for the deacons. We do pray that thou wilt grant them a pastor if it please thee. And grant, O Lord, that there may be a goings in the tops of the mulberry trees. We think, Lord, of times past and pray that thou wilt come. Grant, Lord, the answer of peace for those that humbly seek thee and watch thy hand. Lord, do remember the young, little ones and older ones, but Lord, watch over them. And those, Lord, in the midst of life with all its responsibilities, Lord, do be with them, be at their right hand, and guide and direct them. Hear us now, Lord, as we desire that thou come over our unworthiness. What a mountain that is. Lord, so unworthy, that thou art worthy. We ask in Jesus' precious name alone. Seeking, Lord, that thou hear us, and when thou hearest, forgive. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 129. Ye souls that are weak and helpless and poor, who know not to speak, much less to do more, lo, here's a foundation for comfort and peace. In Christ is salvation, the kingdom is his. 129.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I'll direct you to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We will read the first three verses. Psalm 40, and our text is taken in verse 2. Verse 2. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Verse 2 especially. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. My mind is directed to these verses. I think of the words here in this beautiful psalm. These words especially to be a sweet testimony. God is the author of. The psalmist David speaks of waiting upon the Lord. And it's a good word because of so much of Christ in the psalm here. I believe he waited patiently. I believe it's a doctrine of the cross. Waiting for the Lord, but he had to fulfill, the dear Redeemer, all that was required of him. And he waited patiently under every load, and we cannot really speak of it so much this evening. But there is much here concerning the David and David's greatest son. And that's where we want to come, friends. The sweet testimony. There are many things here I would seek to touch upon. But where do we really find that access? It must be. We're able to view or be able to know a little of the increase of the Lord himself with us. It's a testimony of God's divine goodness and his mercy to the psalmist. May we have it in our own hearts. It's a beautiful psalm. My thoughts went to it as we were thinking of the chapter. Friends, it's the way in which the Lord is revealed in it. Both the psalm and in that sweet chapter. In Luke, we notice it. So much of Christ in it. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And I believe preaching is vain unless we find that glorious one, as God may so help us. Oh, it is his visit, isn't it? His speedy appearing. We notice it here, the dear psalmist David, that he is brought into a sweet place, I believe, as the Lord lifted him up and brought him out of all his troubles. Speaks about it too. It's a savour in it of Christ. I believe we can look back for a moment at that sweet chapter so well known and so often repeated. Jesus himself drew near. But friends, let us look for a moment. He that drew near was risen and went with them. I was thinking that the Lord had risen indeed, but he would appear. He would make known his sweet name and the truth of it in these troubled hearts. That's the gospel, isn't it? His work of salvation was finished when he cried, indeed, that it was so, but he would make it known. He would draw near. It's the testimony of it, deeply recorded in the gospel. It's the life in it, isn't it? He would draw near with these poor sinners. Friends, may we be like those that are lifted up, and we read their hearts burn within them because Christ was risen and came right to their lot and their portion and their souls. And friends, that's what we need, isn't it? We have it recorded so much in the sweet psalm here, so much of Christ, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Something more than that. Mine ears are so opened. Burnt offering and sin offering are so not required. Or the truth of it is, there must be that offering for sinners. And that which God can look upon. And it's not only in his death, but in his resurrection. All those characters so bad laid upon the breastplate of the Lord Jesus were subject to his resurrection and the power of it and the witness of it and the testimony of it too, until their hearts were renewed. And also, they had to speak about it. And they gathered together. I was thinking about it. I believe there's a testimony in it. In the chapter we have it recorded, as we noted in the last few verses. And they told what things were done in the way. Why, friends? Because Christ had filled their hearts with his love and resurrection power. It had been evening, but it was light in their soul. Oh, friends, the Lord may grant some sweet instruction in his word. I was thinking about it, friends. They could not but speak of him. They said, "Did not our heart burn within us by the way?" There's a testimony again comes to my mind in it. Well, it's contained in the hymn, isn't it? Godliness and all its life at Jesus' cross we find. In that life restored. And it's just as if the Lord gathers up these poor characters. How they need his resurrection. How sweetly is it granted? Because I live, ye shall live also. And so there is that sweet testimony of him that lives to die no more. But then he was sweetly taken up, wasn't he? Heaven's high courts above, there to bring, I think the hymn writer says, a rebel herd, poor sinners, to heaven. Washed in the Redeemer's blood, have part with him in his death and resurrection, and sweetly forgiven all their transgressions. Oh, what a beautiful account that is of the great number that no man can number of singing his worthy praises with the heart with the understanding. I think we can truly say the new heart. They weren't short of harps, were they? Sweetly brought, as we have noticed in Revelation from time to time. Oh, how the Lord has granted that salvation, and the top stone is put to it all. It's Christ in heaven, isn't it? To sing his worthy praises. And these humble hearts here on the road to Emmaus sweetly knew the truth of it. It's the exchange, isn't it, of their heaviness and their grief and sorrow. They were looking down, but soon their hearts were looking up. Burning within them. Well, I think the Lord revived them sweetly in the truth of the gospel. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, each one? sweet account, isn't it? I was thinking also these words that came to pass. What an order. What a testimony. Neglected, is it? As if it doesn't matter. Friends, there's something to attend to. That God grant the grace. Perhaps he has done. Unknown to me, exceedingly unknown. As far as anything, but are there those that have to say something or shall have to say something? And Satan will seek to say it's not necessary. Well, friends, it is necessary to obedience. Some of you know exactly what I mean. As he sat at meat with them, I never saw it as I did just for a few moments. It's a sacred place where Jesus draws near. There's that sweet testimony in his precious name, showing forth his precious blood to sinners. The broken bread and the cup and the sweet testimony in it to his saving grace. Friends, we need real things today. The Lord grant it. Hearts burning within them until they have to do and go and attend to the things that God has put in their hearts. Only God. That I must hasten. He sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Of course, it speaks very much in the previous chapter of that divine order. Well, I haven't come to really dwell upon it so much. But there is surely that need to speak of Christ and his ordinances and the testimony. And friends, he puts it in the heart, doesn't he? And there is that need of that application, that blessing of the Lord. Oh, it maketh rich these poor sinners, and Christ is the sum of it. Well, I was thinking of the testimony here especially. It seemed to be lifting me up a little bit, you might say. Sometimes I believe it's right to say the Lord's people, that they seem to get so low. We don't make a god of it. My friends, the Lord sank so low. Why? He might be that sweet Redeemer that one said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There's much of Christ in it. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Especially those words seem to tend my thoughts and direct me to a sweet testimony of it. That's what stands out to me. And then there's the preaching of it too. It's a humble testimony, a confession. David, under the sweet influence of his God, and this psalm was directed to the chief musician, if I might say. Was there so much of Christ in it? David's greater son. That I must perhaps come especially. Speaks here of that saving grace, doesn't it? The testimony unto it. A sweetness in it to him that he has to speak about. Sweet psalm indeed. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. What pit is that? The pit of corruption. As we do need to speak very soberly indeed, it's that bottomless pit. Oh, and it's that truth that is surrounding it, friends, that way down into that bottomless pit, slipping, unconcerned, dreadfully inured, dead to God. Such were some of you, we see. But who can quicken or make alive poor sinners, friends, but God himself? And yet so it is. You are the quicken, we read, who are dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, are there those that can say, well, I haven't got much, but what little life I have got must be by his quickening. Do you love that quickening grace? Enlivening? Or bringing that life where there was no life, as we might think of it very simply. The author of it. You are the quickener, were dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians, isn't it? A very sweet account. It's very precious to my stepmother. I managed to speak to her before she was taken to glory, I believe. But just as she was slipping away, I repeated that text and her face lit up. I haven't ever said much about it before. Well, friends, that quickening, you know, it's absolutely vital. You must be born again or must be quickened. Are there those characters that know something about it? Or they wouldn't be here. They'd be wherever they would be but for grace. Some of us went a long way and thought we'd heard enough and that we were quite our own master and so on, and the Lord brought us back. How does the Lord bring back sinners? He puts them on his shoulder, or they never get back. And the government should be upon his shoulder. These characters, friends, they're the subjects of his wondrous grace. I was thinking about it earlier. It's his love, and then the boundless grace of that love, friends, like the streams flowing out of it. Every moment, every day, those streams flow, but it's to the saints of God, isn't it? Quickened, kept alive, brought back, sweetly endowed, made known, Christ made known to them. And they have to flee to him and fly to him. And they feel so dead. They feel so impoverished. And their souls get very low about it. Why am I thus? We think of that dear character in the Old Testament. Abigail. Rebecca. Said, if it be so, why am I thus? She went to inquire the Lord. Many sermons been preached from that, haven't there? I waited patiently. She could come in there, couldn't she? Oh, these are characters, aren't they? Oh, friends, they're the subjects of his grace. It's the flowing down of it, you know. And then it is the top stone too, isn't it? It's that grace that meets these sinners. Friends, I do know. Do not impoverish the love of God. God forbid. But it's how that love of God is made known. Those streams shall make glad the city of God. And it's that love that is the author of these sweet truths, and grace reaches them every day. Oh, but they can't feel it. They can't know it but for the blessed Spirit of truth. They want to feel it, and their souls are impoverished, and they feel so destitute. Now, what does the psalmist say? How does he end the psalm here? But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, now, does the Lord grant something in the verse here, in the psalm, and the truth, in the word of his grace, to those souls that feel they never will be lifted up, never will gain the conquest over sin and unbelief, that they are truly banished, friends? It cannot be so. These saints, these dear souls, have got an interest in Christ. Well, they love his name, but they want to hear it once more. They need the Lord to come and grant them answers of peace. And it's not any peace, is it? It's Calvary's peace. Well, there's much religious peace, which is only fleshly. I do believe it. We want that peace which is according to the sweet truth. Peace I give you, peace I leave with you. It's that peace of Calvary. Oh, friends, what a sweet subject that is. These rebel souls, so full of sin, and yet to be blessed with that peace, notwithstanding all sweet hymns about it. Oh, and it is indeed that word, isn't it, concerning the Lord's dealings with them. Now, these things are often in the testimony. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. It's not abstract, it's not letter. Friends, it's something here that is known and felt. And it's as if there's a sweet theme in it. It's all to God's glory, isn't it? And there's that testimony, it's of Christ from first to last. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Oh, friends, it's a wretched place, isn't it? I've often thought it's that dreadful place where God can never be found. That horrible pit where God is not. Oh, friends, he makes it so known in the scripture. He delivers from it. It really, I speak very carefully, but it needed one to go down. Now, how do we understand it? In spirit, not in body. He went down into the pit in that sweet spirit of the gospel to deliver these souls and to bring them up. All of his sweet grace. I want to be clear about it. In spirit it is. Not a place. Well, the Lord grant a sweet view of it. His obedience and the way in which the Lord delivers from that bondage of the pit is by himself. Not the best angel. And friends, it's by Christ, isn't it? And his word and truth and the presenting of his precious blood for the redemption, the purchased possession, and the Father to look upon it with such approval, such love to that soul that it is loved of God eternally, nor is the surety short of love. He loves beyond degree. It's his love, isn't it? He brought me up also. Now, there's something that attends my mind, friends. How gently sometimes the Lord works. Some of us went a long way, and The Lord brought us back by his way and his appointments. And when he did so, I thought I needed something more conspicuous. I needed, Lord, to grant me such an experience that I could testify that I was indeed such a character. Friends, the Lord empties, and he fills. You won't have much left, will you? But it'll be all in Christ, the Saviour indeed, and a great one. Now there's a testimony of it, as if there's something here that speaks of that sweet work of grace and the deliverance from sin and the lifting up out of the dunghill, spoken of here as the miry clay. What does it really speak of, friends? Old nature and sin, left for a moment, go back, slide back. Oh, how we have to view our own sin and unworthiness, that the Lord, friends, he delivers. He grants his word. Have you noticed in that chapter of Christ in all the scriptures? Oh, is that Redeemer indeed, to bring these poor characters up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay? Oh, it's that which clings and cleaves, doesn't it, to our old nature. We may feel guilty indeed about it. Oh, how defiled by sin and ruined by it, and yet I'm always troubled, often troubled about it, friends. We seek to confess it, but it needs the Lord to grant us true repentance in it. No, I must hasten. It's all of him, isn't it? He brought me up also. All these things, many trials, many sorrows, and especially out of the horrible pit. It shall not close upon these characters. Cannot do. They belong to Christ. Out of the miry clay, and he says, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. With a few thoughts about it. It's the testimony I just want to notice here. Some say they haven't got a testimony. And friends, it's not the length of it, it's the reality of it, the truth of it. It's when the Lord is in that humble testimony and there's a little softness of spirit, a little breaking down of our old hearts and the sweet knowledge of his love. Oh, friends, the Lord grants it. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Our propensity to sin and slide back and go to the law and to be so unworthy, and he set my feet upon a rock. Of course, we think of this rock as Christ. But it's that sweet truth of the Lord making known a testimony here of being established and set down upon the truth. The Lord changes their heart, friends. He brings these souls from vanities. They've got enough sin and ruin, but the matter is this: the Lord lifts them up and brings them by his grace, and he brings them to a sweet testimony that it was all of grace and still is. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Oh, it's a very simple testimony, isn't it? Very, very precious. Upon a rock. You know how it is, that rock, we've often noticed it in Cornwall, for instance, it's still the same, isn't it? How many waves dashing upon it? What's changes in our lives? Still, it's the same. Really, it speaks of that establishing upon that rock, Christ Jesus. Feet set down upon it. That's what we need in the churches. That's what we need. These dear characters, they're quite delivered from the ways of sin, but they've got much to confess. They feel to be so unworthy and so unlike the people of God. The Lord set them down, but they know what's right. They know what they, how the Lord has led them, and they are brought to feel their need to be kept upon that rock. Oh, and how precious he is. You know, I was going to say they take him everywhere, but I want to qualify, friends, it's him, isn't it, that is with them. Sometimes they have to speak about him. I've had to do so in the hospital not so very long ago. The man with cancer and another character. And it gave me an opportunity to speak just a little, very carefully, how the Lord had led me into the truth and emphasised the need to be settled upon that one foundation. Friends, the matter is very real, isn't it? We need to be well set down upon that finished work. Not this spirit of materialism, or that sadness where there is just the nominal knowledge of Jesus, as we need him formed in our heart, the hope of glory. We need him to stand upon, our poor souls to rest upon. We need him in life and need him in death. Establish my guys, it's experimental. The Lord lifting up these characters, they're going down to the pit. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And he sets them down on this rock by his Spirit. Many characters of old were sweetly delivered from the ways of sin and ruin. They made pillars in God's house. Some of them, most notorious characters. I like to read about them. And friends, they all died in the faith. Or those characters that I especially, I'm sure you can remember some. Friends, how well set down they were on the rock of ages. Now, it's not nominal religion, you know. That'll leave you short. And there's much of it. I must speak carefully and search my own heart. We need real things before Holy God searches the heart. He looks for the rock. Are we upon it? Indeed, there is a sufficiency in him. For these poor sinners and all their weakness and all their sin and ruin, oh, it's to be founded on this rock, Christ Jesus. Now, it's not that we have got so much. Friends, a little a righteous man hath is better than riches of many wicked. It's to be set down upon that finished work, finished by the Son of God for such poor souls as we. Oh, do you want a finished work, friends? Or do you think, well, I'll attend to it just before I die, and I'll have warning, and I'll deal with it as I've done so much in my life, and just wait for things to happen. So many do, friends. That's on the sand, isn't it? How solemn. We need to be rightly established. I must hasten. sat down, delivered from every false refuge, and brought to Jesus Christ himself, the sinner's friend, the good friend to these dying sinners. But they shall never die eternally. Now there's testimony then, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Now these words belong to the Lord's dealings. Not the creatures. He ever goes astray. No soundness in him at all. Now these words here belong to the Holy Spirit's saving operation and establishing upon the finished work of Christ. And then the goings speak of the things that God appoints. These characters. You know, some think, well, if they have faith, that's all they need, and God will perfect it, and they go on like that. But no. Faith is an active grace. It lives. And it needs to be fed. It's that sweet grace, isn't it, the Lord speaks so highly of. And we need that increase of it. Now it believes. Now, it's a simple statement, but it's a wondrous thing, you know. These vile sinners believe. They forfeited everything. They haven't got an atom of faith of their own. But he is the author of faith and finisher of it too. So he's an all-sufficient Saviour. Oh, this wondrous truth is made known in poor sinners' hearts. Christ is their all in all. And then faith can be at a low ebb. What then? Well, it's to wait patiently for him again. Wait on him still. It is to be turning unto him. Now, it's not such an easy thing, friends, with a heart that is so carnal. The apostle complained about it. I am carnal. Sold under sin. But not eternally. Oh, redeemed by Jesus' precious blood, redeemed. And these characters, friends, they've got something to say. Well, that is what my Bible tells me. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And then say, some say, I will, you must make allowance for timidity. Well, it's not what I say at all. What the Lord says. It's that speaking, isn't it, a little there, beloved. What think ye of Christ? He's altogether lovely. One thing needful. I without him perish must. Oh, do you believe it? Ah, friends, is he more near, more dear? Say, I need him every day. And then, as you get older, perhaps I speak with the older ones. Oh, the dreadful state of our hearts, the impoverishment of them, the sin that does so easily beset us, the dreadful plague of sin. It doesn't get less, does it? Ah, but it's that deliverance from it. He brought me up. So out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Now these are the goings of faith. And I want to speak of the Lord leading his people also. But it's that they're led to the place where grace abounds. The hymn writer says, direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. These are goings of faith. Friends, we've knew much about it years ago, and we feel to need the Lord have mercy now. Grant us those sweet tokens. Perhaps in the greatest troubles and losses, Christ was so precious. Now these goings then, Now, in another sense, we read of them, his goings in the sanctuary, these hearts moved and brought especially to the Saviour. When they're brought from the ways of sin and ruin, oh, they have so many fears. Am I his or am I not? Thinking about it today, wondering about my own calling. Oh, for the Lord to set us down more firmly. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But to rest upon it by his grace. It's that going out unto him, isn't it, without the camp, bearing his reproach. We read of it in the psalm, aha, aha. Not so easy to walk in, is it? And then there are these goings that I want to mention, because it seemed to attend my mind the way the text opened up a little. Establish my goings. Well, it's the way the Lord appoints. We read of Christ, the door of the sheep, and going into that, out into that sheepfold. And these goings also belong to his commandments and belong to his appointment. Thinking about it this afternoon. His goings, friends, are of his sovereignty. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? And some characters have felt indeed that they ought never to attend a calling because of what they could fall, especially thinking of those that are called to the ministry. We've got so many fears that they'll surely come short, and as they might be good fears so far, but don't make a god of them indeed. It's then time to trust, time to lean, time to come and seek the Lord more earnestly and desire the Lord to grant that confirmation. And to confirm his inheritance when he's weary. And then, friends, it's the trial of it, isn't it? Oh, we think we could do without the trials. Well, God doesn't. Somewhere or other, may the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And it's the things the Lord bids his people to take up. And they have to go with those loads and burdens to the burden bearer. They have to go according to his commandments, whatever it is. They have to seek for the Lord to go before them. Oh, but how ruined they are in that thought that they're so poor. Friends, the Lord grant some of these goings may be sweetly proved. Might be known by the Lord's gracious help and establish my goings. Oh, it's not so easy, is it, to know which way to go and what to do. But here are the Lord's establishings, these characters. Put it like this. When they come to die, they want to take the Lord with them by his grace. And that's just how it is in the things that belong to their providences. They need the Lord to be with them. Dare not trust the sweetest frame. Wholly lean on Jesus' name. And they need the Lord more and more as the days, years go by. And establish my goings. That they're in his paths. His footsteps who can trace. But these goings, those goings of the Lord. And then there's that following on. Whatever it is. I think it was Mary, the mother of Jesus that said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, it needs the Lord, doesn't it? And establish my going. Now, lastly, friends, it's that looking back, isn't it? Being able to trace a little the Lord's sweet favour, days of espousals, all those times of refreshing. And then, friends, we need grace to walk out his path, his commandments, and it needs a heart upright. Oh, friends, how far short we feel to come. And establish my goings. Really, we can say he corrects, doesn't he? He grants a little of that sweet guidance. His arm is not shortened, nor his ear heavy. We have it, really. He incline unto me. That's gospel, isn't it? That's divinity. And established my goings. He incline unto me. There's much of it needs to be said in the preaching, friends. It's God's sovereignty, his purposes. It's what the Lord appoints. And what we need is much grace to fall humbly before him and to see that double portion with dear Elisha. A double portion of his grace. Well, I must leave a few things. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, friends, it's those goings that lead to heaven, isn't it? The path is appointed. It's that rugged way sometimes. We want to be careful about it. Oh, it is opposite to old nature. And establish my goings. The Lord grant it. Maybe a word, a confirming word, a word that speaks of the Lord's sovereignty, the Lord's appointments. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my going. I read the third verse, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. May the Lord forgive all amiss and grant a blessing on his word this evening. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 630. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self or something base, instead of trusting sovereign grace. 630.
to bless the sweet lines in the hymn. And our thoughts are up to thee, Lord, for the concerns of those that wait upon thee. Lord, it fills our heart a little now that God may appear with answers of peace regarding the projected school and those that are desirous to know and do thy will. Lord, be with them, we pray, we ask thy mercy and thy gracious help. Be with us as we part, and do be with each one, Lord, unable to be here, and forgive all amiss. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favour rest upon us from above. Amen.